Oh,
So,
fun.
yeah. Okay, let's jump in.
Okay.
Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
I'm Michelle Baber.
And this is Bravo Breakdowns Podcast. We are covering a really fun episode of Salt Lake City, episode 12. And we have a very special guest, an SLC native, who to give us all the SLC scoop. She's also a hilarious comedian and writer from Crooked Media, facial recognition comedy, and our dear friend, Pallavi Gunalan. Yay!
Hey! Oh my goodness. I'm so excited that Mormon culture between this and the Mormon Mormon Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is like taking the world by storm. So like everybody knows like why I am the way I am and how I
love
that
this.
Way.
Was this the dream of Joseph Smith? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
This was in the
We're technically Mormon because we take it in the butt, or like swinging to us is just kissing other people or soaking or whatever.
Wait, were you raised Mormon?
No, I was raised Hindu, but I was like, I mean, I grew up in Utah. My parents still live there. I went to high school in Salt Lake City.
So basically, you're immersed in Mormon culture.
I'm immersed in the culture. I've been to their Sunday schools, like their seminary.
Have you been to SWIG?
Is that the soda thing?
The cream
I think
soda.
That, the dirty okay. sodas.
I think that's like a development since I left. Like, okay. I don't think that they had all the hacks. You know what I mean? Like,
they
when I was
have
growing
the Mormon
up there.
Hacks.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much about like loopholes, like ketamine instead of drinking
like
and coffee.
Mixed orientation marriages or anything like that. That came
right.
later.
Right. Yeah. That came later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's like a big scoop on SLC, it's like so blue now that their Dem rep is going to get primaried by like a progressive or a socialist.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Salt Lake City itself has been blue for a little bit. They had like a lesbian mayor or something because it's very queer, because all the other parts of Utah are not great to be queer in. So they all come to Salt Lake City
as
the hub. So it's one of the gayest cities in the country, which is why, like, you know, Bronwyn's buying pride flags and everything.
Yeah. And it is like Mecca because so many important events in gay history happened there, like Jen Shah getting arrested.
Beauty
Lab and Laser.
So true.
This is what Trump is trying to take away from us.
If he sends Homeland Security there again and they try to take away Beauty Lab and Laser, I have to chain myself to Beauty Lab and Laser. How like when you need to save the trees, like you like won't let them bulldoze it. That's what I would do at Beauty Lab and Laser. The only protest I'd ever show up for.
You guys were you and Laura Loomer at Beauty Lab and Laser, just each connected to one door, but it still opens. You guys should come, like, you know how you were inviting me for your live shows? We should do one in Salt Lake for like the reunion episode or something. And you guys should come stay with my family, and my mom will feed you Indian food, which is not the typical Utah experience, but there are a lot of Indian people there now.
Oh my gosh. We have to do we're committed to the finale. We've
Tuesday.
Already booked a guest.
Sorry,
fair enough.
But the premiere.
Or something.
The premiere of season 7. Yeah.
We have residency.
We could all be in Utah and then we could hit all the places. Like, I've been
Beauty
to some
Lab
of the places.
And Laser.
Yeah, I haven't been to Beauty Lab and Laser. I've been to, what was the one where they like had the burlesque show? In like one of the earlier seasons.
Is that the one where Jen Shah yelled at Mary Cosby that her husband's her grandpa?
I think so. I think so.
I think they were doing it in the middle of somebody's performance and the woman like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. But we could do like a little like, you know, like how I want to see all the things in Ireland from like reading James Joyce. This will be like, you know, our
this
little
will be a highbrow version of that.
Joyce.
Yeah.
I don't, whoever that, whatever that, I don't know her.
Oops. Sorry. Sorry.
We're never going to record this.
This is a slight tech issue I had just now. Okay. Okay, sorry, it just like disappeared on me, my screen.
Maybe it's bad that I only know Beauty Lab and Laser in Salt Lake City, that in the temple, but I can't go to that one.
I know, they won't let me in. I've been to so many wedding receptions and not.
I've been to a couple Mormon wedding receptions.
What's that like? You can't drink, there's no booze there.
There's no alcohol.
I mean, there is for like.
It's like in a gym. It was in a gym.
It's like, a lot of them are in like weird places, but like, it's like at Thanksgiving when you go for a walk with your cousin, but they have a flask. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of leave.
Okay. Oh, I didn't get to do that.
You have to like, I know you have to have the in on like the bad Mormons, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Read Heather Gay's book.
Heather Gay.
I know.
Oh, another.
It's just Heather Gay's book.
Another hallowed ground you said you wanted to visit is, which you will presumably be let in. They don't turn anyone away. Mary's Church.
Hey.
Oh my God. Yeah. I want to go there so bad. I want to, oh, but I'm afraid I won't leave and then I'll marry my dead grandpa or something.
I'd rather her than like, I'd rather Mary's Church than fucking Scientology any day.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah, although Paul, you say that, but we've gone to mics at the Scientology Center. Let's be real.
Oh, were the crowds receptive? Did you sign the billion-year contract? Did you really go to the Scientology Center?
They used to have a mic there because it's like
Celebrity Center
at the it was like the one on Franklin. Yeah,
the blue one across from UCB.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't heard about Scientologists in a minute.
Yeah. I think that's because Tom Cruise is being charming right now. And so like
he is. He's not talking about Scientology. Oh my God. It's like this part we might have to cut. But it's million years ago, there was an article in Vanity Fair and it was called like What Katie Didn't Know. And detailed like
her escape.
Her escape from Scientology, her escape from Tom Cruise. So it was like her dad was an attorney. He was a divorce attorney. And he like on the back end was like, you need to do all these things. And she had like burner phones, like pagers.
Oh my God.
Like, all of this stuff to make sure that she wasn't being listened to by like the Scientologists, like that she wasn't being tailed. Like they were following her. Tom Cruise had no idea she was going to divorce him. He had no idea. Nobody in Scientology knew. It was like the fastest like divorce ever.
I remember it happening quickly.
Crazy. And then she asked for custody and then she was like, I'll leave everything else.
I'm done. And she's like, this is happening. Here's the paperwork. Like everything legally had been done. Her dad had like engineered all of this. And there were so many other attorneys involved because like, her dad was like out of Ohio where she's from, but like she was getting divorced in California. Like it was a really interesting
story. Good for her dad.
It's also because they were really worried about her. They were worried because it was like, okay, like all this weird shit happened in your marriage, but now you have a kid. And like he still hasn't ever, like I think he's only seen Suri just a handful of times since they got
divorced.
Yeah,
it's probably better for her.
Suri never left, and she left. You know, they've been in New York City since the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally on Father's Day.
Yeah, that's
all we knew from the divorce was her resharing those Nicole Kidman divorce pictures.
Oh my God!
But she was sending us signals.
She wasn't sending them to Xenu. She was sending them to us.
To us.
But it was crazy because they also talked about the woman that Tom almost got with before Katie the Scientology
the contract
and how they had groomed her and how she would be a good mate for him, like all of these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reason he ended up being with Katie Holmes is like somebody at the Scientology Center saw an article in like 17 magazine where Katie Holmes had said that her childhood crush was Tom Cruise and they
Poor
were like
girl.
This would be a better match for him because she's like, you know, she's kind of known, so it would be good for him to be with like somebody in the entertainment industry, like when he was with Nicole, but she was really young, so they could kind of mold her.
Not to make a comparison that's completely unfair and potentially offensive, but oh my God, Indian parents and arranged marriage, am I right?
I'm like,
there's an attorney in Ohio if you need help, sweetie.
Okay, let's get into the episode. So this was
Jason, maybe without segue, Katie Holmes escaping Tom Cruise.
I think we should leave that because I didn't know that. My mom and I, like, my mom told me over Thanksgiving, and I read the article. Not enough people know. All right. So let's get into it. I think we need to leave it all, but we will put a timestamp for when the episode recapage begins, which is now. Mm-hmm. So we start off the episode with Bronwyn picking up Todd from the airport, where presumably he's been looking at ladies.
Sears catalogs.
Sears catalogs.
And her, yeah. Their bustiers. The bustiers. He's like, oh, is this he's a girdle? Like,
I need to slide into some DMs. Let me open my phone book.
Yeah,
he's yeah, like, his Rolodex.
A telegram.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
Opens the window of the plane, a carrier pigeon flies out. Yeah, so she, Bronwyn picks him up. This really hurts me to say this because I'm rooting for Bronwyn, but sometimes she makes it hard to defend.
We were all rooting for you, Tyra Banks.
She picks him up in an inflatable sloth costume.
Yeah.
And makes him point out what animal she is, a mm-hmm. sloth. And the mm-hmm. the Kristen Bell, Dax Shepard of it
oh,
all.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on their Vanity Fair article.
Here's the thing. In this episode, we're going to talk about it later, but like, what did Bronwyn have on Todd and her mom to make them change tunes so quickly?
How did they shapeshift?
And tolerate her being on the show at all?
I think this is the only way that she can sort of abuse them.
True. She's getting back at them. Yeah.
This
she's
is the
like,
only way that she can do it. And
she has control. Yeah.
And I'm fine with it. I mean, I'd almost like reach out to the manufacturers of these inflatable costumes and be like, please stop selling to this woman.
Yeah. But she needs to be cut off.
This is the footage that made it. Like, imagine how much more footage they had to cut and how many more of these inflatable costumes.
How much escalator B-roll, her always going up and down in the costume.
I know you have a global entry, sweetie, but this is enough.
At the end, it was like the tea party thing, which we'll get to, but like she was providing wigs in this warehouse. And immediately I was like, this is where she has all the, her costumes. Like, this is like Halloween of costumes.
We'll get her to her soundstage. But so she's picking up Todd and she's making him be like, what animal am I? Which is something I also ask my daughter who is 4 when we're looking at books, like what, you know, point of the sloth.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can ask Todd like yes or no or very like one word answer questions before he's like, fuck this show. You know, you can't like let him go off too long.
That's funny. So Pallavi, you think that Todd relented somewhat in this scene to Bronwyn?
I feel like she always like starts her conversations with Todd like, okay, like be invested at all in what this show is, please. And he's like,
no.
He's like grumble, and then he's like, you know what? Fuck this. Why are you even on the show with these women? What's going on? Like, mm-hmm. and this time he was like engaging in the gossip. He was like, sure, tell me what they said.
He typically is like, he's like both characters, like Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon from like Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah.
That's, he's like both of them together.
Yeah.
Very unsettling. It's very, very unsettling. He's definitely pissed that she got him involved in this. And like,
see, I think he loves it. I think that's why he and Muzzy are on the show. I think they love being cunty,
fierce
divas.
Because we're talking about him, baby, and he just wants to be talked about. He doesn't care how it happens. But you know what? We're mentioning it all, and it's Todd always.
The messiest person you know is men.
He's so messy.
Yes.
And I think nobody messier than an old white man. Straight man.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he doesn't like doing scenes with the other women. And mm-hmm. just like he and Muzzy, they'll both only do scenes with Bronwyn. They won't even do a scene together mm-hmm. because they would both be battling for mm-hmm. control. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Bronwyn, they can just be like, this scene is about me shitting on you and then giving you a crumb. And you're like, thank you for the crumb.
Oh my God. Baby, look pretty now,
daddy. Baby, look like sloth now, daddy.
Oh my God. It's so sad seeing Bronwyn like that. And like, I mean, we'll talk about her.
But I think
later,
she likes it. Honestly, she doesn't need to still be in this marriage. If she does, I think she would leave if she wanted to.
No.
But she knows he's a star.
She knows he's a star. And guess what? Half the time we're talking about Bronwyn, Todd's right next to her. And that, like, when we're talking about her.
That's like her vulnerability when she like opened up to the women was about Todd. And about like the potential infidelity. So that's mm-hmm. like she like mm-hmm. realized that that's what makes her human to the audience. Mm-hmm. And then it's like writing that. Yeah, I could see that.
What is more relatable than like she's absolutely treated like garbage, but she still shows up and does her job.
She shows
like,
up
and doesn't want them to leave.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like I really like about Bronwyn is like when all this stuff comes out, like every time she's like, yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. And she'll, like, she's the one who even tells people, she's like, Todd cheated on me and it went down like this, or like, yeah, Todd's staying in a hotel because I'm really mad at him because he was on a plane looking at all of these women, you know, mm-hmm. like she just like, or the farting while making out whole she's thing. Like she never denied it. She was just like, I don't like you talking yeah. about it.
Yeah. yeah. Well, let's get yeah. into
she
a
never
Whitney.
Denied that it happened.
Let's get into Whitney and Justin, because I think there's a similar theme going on with Whitney this season.
Yeah.
Where Whitney, yeah, they're talking about
MLM style.
Yeah. They're talking about the last vendor pulled the funds and they're like completely broke now. Mm-hmm. And she, mm-hmm. we've all known that like Justin's previous business was an MLM, that Whitney's yeah. First business was an MLM. And she kind of says the quiet Wait. Part out loud.
I do want to defend them. Most business in
MLMs
Utah
or
is an MLM.
Oh,
MLM.
Okay.
So I just need you to know how many, yeah, Mormon ladies messing with your money.
Mormon lady money.
This is like the number of, in my dance school, the number of moms that sold like Mary Kay products out of their mm-hmm. car. Insane. Okay.
Yeah.
They had to give the women projects because after they had kids, they had nothing left to do. And so mm-hmm. they were like, here, sell like makeup or what, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. don't yeah. think about your place in the church at all. And so,
right.
it's very
and they don't have like
do
a
that.
Career history. Yeah. So it's like, this is a job that with yes. no like barrier of entry, you can just
and
jump
it's always
in.
Just, yeah. They've always been that type of job. It's like, this is the, how a woman can own a business or have like her own money is this is the,
yeah.
Only
anytime there's
MLM.
An MLM outside of Utah, I'm like, our culture is not your costume. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's a sign. It's this. I think this was all Joseph Smith's plan. You know, mm-hmm. get them on reality TV. Get the MLMs popping on yeah. IG.
The,
get the trad
thing,
wives popping.
Let's do
the
it,
big
baby.
Thing that
North
Brigham
America.
Young said when he came to Utah was, "This is the place." That's like a huge thing that's repeated everywhere all over. This is the place. So
at
it
Beauty
is
Lab
the place.
And Laser.
It, Beauty Lab and Laser is the place for MLMs to take hold. You know.
Wow.
Oh my God.
You know, a Botox MLM, that would be dangerous, but great.
I'm doing it.
We're one step removed from that.
We're so close to
I'm so close to doing that. Well, Lauren's looking for a part-time job.
Yeah. I need a low barrier of entry because my work history, not good. yeah. So I do have a question. Do we think that, I think it's going between Whitney and Justin. Do we think that this is like a genuine, like a, conflict in their marriage that like she's trying to pin on him, and the same with like the swinging that she was open about, that was revolutionary
yeah.
in the episode before last,
oh,
where she was like, we almost
Roman.
Have swung, but
yeah,
you know,
but
it's because of him. Is she pinning it on him to distance herself, or just because she resents him, but they're gonna work through it? I guess
I feel like yes and yes.
Okay.
Like all of
I
the
think,
above
I don't I think that they still I don't know I think they still really like each other, though.
I feel
mean,
like
even when they
true.
Have that, even when they have like pretty heavy conflict or pretty serious issues in a marriage, like we have no money, that's a big problem. And like they still kind of, I don't know, they seem to like, they seem like they fuck a lot and like that
yeah.
they actually still
yeah.
really like each other. I think they still really like each other. And, but I also think Whitney is smart and is like, I need to have some sort of storyline and some sort of conflict.
She, and also yeah. like that whole scene was set up with her just like in the most beautiful top staring.
Oh
out
my God.
Like
yeah.
On,
yeah.
on the planes.
Yeah.
She was
like
this
staring,
is the place.
They're like staring over like this beautiful, like vista from their home, which is a
and
beautiful
she's like,
house.
We're ruined.
And she's like, we have
you
nobody. We have yes. nothing, Justin.
I trusted you, and the only time like, you believed in me.
I think, honestly, I think he's just like such a supportive husband. He's like, mm-hmm. you're right.
I'll
yeah.
take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah. It's because of me. The business is gone.
They
you
get
know,
the
they
same
have,
vibes.
I also think they still have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Of course.
Though, yeah. The whispering that goes like the rumors and nastiness about like Whitney and Justin being on the rocks, I kind of think it's like the same as like what. They do the same thing that Lisa and John are doing this mm. season, where it's like they are going to like show a little more of their marriage,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Their humanness in a kind of a choreographed way. But deep down, it's like they're not like
they're not
in real trouble. Yeah, they're just working through.
They're working through things that I think anybody who's married and has probably been married for more than like 2 years, like you deal with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like every marriage, maybe not like this, but every marriage you have like financial issues.
And, yeah, no, I was just like talking to Jared about it and like, I feel like Brittany would just want to come in.
Yeah.
Osmond.
Yeah. Wait, before we move on, I do want to say the biggest bombshell of this episode was from Brittany that she had a 4-2 and was a salutatorian.
Salutatorian. Oh my gosh.
And yes, we need to get to that because she also did, because she didn't call it a salutatorian though. She called it a salutatorian.
But we'll get to that. Oh, she did?
Bitch, me? I thought she said salutatorian.
No, we auto-corrected that for her.
That's why everyone, when we watched it last night, laughed so hard. She called it a salutatorian.
I thought we laughed because it was unexpected.
I'm pretty sure she mixed salutatorian with valedictorian.
All right, listeners.
I love that she is a representative of smart people who are also dumb bitches. Because, like, there are a lot. And a lot of them are running Silicon Valley, okay?
So. Yeah, and also, it's like, it's something I noticed where I thought she had gotten a word of the day calendar to keep up with Meredith Marks, because she's always incorporating a new, like, verbiage in her talking heads repeatedly, the same way, like, Camille in Beverly Hills did when that episode where she was like, she was so pernicious. I mean, it was pernicious.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, this was the last time that Brittany used her brain
SATs.
To learn was the SATs. And that's what keeps coming to the surface, I think.
Wow.
Wow. So, okay, Whitney and Justin.
Yeah, so
they're fine, but broke.
Yeah. So let's get into the all the ladies meeting up for Bronwyn's spilling the tea party, which will be in honor of the Revolutionary War and Bronwyn getting her citizenship. Mm-hmm. Also, they are going to, like, it's like a long to even explain it. It's such a reach.
Yeah.
To, like, it's a reach to get to this costume party, but we find, and you know what? Hand it to Bronwyn will take you there. She'll get you there. It'll be, you don't think you're going to make it, but it's like, she's going to figure out a way to put you in a fucking costume. And it's a crazy, like she'll put you on a soundstage. Also, like, no idea she like was born in Brazil and she was never a U.S. citizen. I'm like, how long
I thought that was fun. I'm like pro-immigrant.
I was like kind of surprised that she's like not, you know, like she's been married to Todd for so long. She went to college here until she
I wonder if it was like
a little tramp.
I wonder if it was like a mission thing. You know what I mean?
That's what,
like,
I think, because her dad was high up in the church.
Yeah, yeah. I so I feel like if any time a Mormon is like born elsewhere, it's like not for the best reasons.
Right, like, right.
We went there to save them. Right. But I also will say it was the most fucking American thing and pro-immigrant sentiment for them to do all of the questions of like citizenship of like how many senators, and the only person to get it was an immigrant.
Yeah,
like technically, or like someone who had to take the citizenship test, and everybody else was like really dumb about it. I'm like, that's America, baby. We are a brain drain right now.
I think I did maybe know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's good.
I would have to think through it. I'd be like, wait, there's probably two senators. Congressman. I'd have
been
like,
there's
hard to know.
One per country, so
one per country. Yeah,
that's what Angie said.
She needs to listen to a little
Greek.
Less Joe Rogan,
like,
and a little
Greece
more.
Get?
She's trying to be a Greek, you know, get her Greek citizenship too. So she's getting the test confused.
Right. Sure. And they invented democracy. So she's got a good understanding.
And she's about to learn that.
Yeah. Well, and I do think, to your point, like, you know, what you have to study really hard for the citizenship test, whereas people who are just born here, they will never learn that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
they
like it just shows how much
in general.
In general,
they will
never
know
learn
how hard it is to be a citizen.
So much dumber than my parents, for sure.
I'm so much dumber. Both of my parents were immigrants. And they both became naturalized citizens, but like, and that's when it was easy to be a naturalized citizen. It's so fucking hard to become a citizen now.
Yeah.
Bronwyn did it.
But maybe if they threw a little pretty party, it would be a little easier.
Wait, what do you think she was wearing when she took the test? Do you think she was wearing like an inflatable? And then they were like, you can't, that's cheating. And she was like, no, it's not a costume. It's fashion.
It's Moschino. Like it's Moschino Constitution.
Yeah. She was the little Bill from Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
She was, predated her.
She had like white face with the Bill.
On Capitol Hill.
Sitting on Capitol Hill. I also thought it was interesting that, you know, the other ladies were kind of giving Bronwyn shit for, like, this being all about herself, but that Heather was very, like, on board. And then in a previous episode, Heather had been like, you know what I like that you do, Bronwyn? I like when you really go all out and spend a lot of money on the costume parties. And then she'd, like, done it again, and they left it. They're, like, really showing us that Heather is running this shit, I feel like, in the end. Oh.
She's running it, and she's running it so much better than, like, you Alex know, it's Baskin. Kind of like this is what happens with, like, an OG does on the show eventually. Lisa Vanderpump did it. Mm-hmm. Kyle has been doing it horribly for years. Mm-hmm. Ugh. You know, but Heather's doing it really well. Like, she's keeping shit moving, and she's keeping it interesting. Like, she knows what's going – she really knows what's going on. But it also doesn't come off in a super manipulative way, you know?
Yeah. How do you feel
what
about
did Mary
Heather?
Say? Mary said that, like, oh, I like you now. You lost 25 pounds or something. What was that? And, like, last season, the season before. Crazy. Crazy work, Mary. I think Heather has been having, like, her little fun moments. And I do think that she does keep – she knows where, like, the plot points that you need to hold on to are, like, the whole Meredith of it all. But then she's willing to, like, move through the other stuff to keep it entertaining. And she's funny, you know?
Yeah.
She's always been really funny.
So, yeah, I think, even though it's, like, you know, she goes back and forth with being, like, so calculated, it's kind of, like, takes people out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But my argument for her is always, like, but the results speak for themselves.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Speaking of pretty good, what did you think of the Pirates of the Caribbean style soundstage setup that they
had?
That
is just Bronwyn's closet. That's all that is. I swear to God.
Yeah, it's her spirit Halloween.
I'm like, okay, when they first got there, I was so confused because I thought it was like a storage facility.
Yeah.
Like it looked like, you know, where you have like your own storage. And then it was like, this is like a Hollywood soundstage. Like the, it was really kind of like she had a fucking like river. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I've never seen a more detailed, I'm trying to think of like just a party on any of the franchises where there's been like this level of like intricacy. And I can't
My undergrad, we used to like throw crazy big parties and we would like purposefully flood the courtyard. So we would do it in like a safe way. And we would have like crazy, we would build insane things. It reminds me of that, but like, it's like
she didn't engineer it.
Well, like, she didn't engineer it, but it reminds me of that. But then like then the pretty people come in. Yeah.
They had to like figure out like, like she had to have somebody come and design that, and then people to come
it.
And
the
build
people
that.
Writing the show did it, and then she
but
was
it was
like,
still really like I well because nice. They do that in other shows, but I'm like this is also I just like it's just so not a typical.
I think they were like, we're gonna build this for the reunion, and we might as well.
I was
just
thinking
keep
that.
It.
Yeah, I was about to use it for the reunion.
There's no way that was such a like set piece.
Well, I tell Lauren like all the time like. The way that Salt Lake City, like all of their big scenes, like they're not dinner. They're all during lunch. Like like the Audrey Hepburn, that was a lunch. Like the Met Gala thing where Mary's talking about the best grapes in France was from that like drought. Like that was a lunch. Like they do lunch. Like nobody does a lunch the way Salt Lake City women do lunch.
I think it's because some of them have family home evenings, like which is a Mormon thing. That's usually like a Sunday thing on Mormons. They like they have family home evenings, but it's just you know I'm like maybe Utah just gets dark faster.
I don't know.
I think that's
I
part
like
of it.
It.
It's winter,
I like it.
You know.
I liked it, and I also liked okay, like the set design. No notes. Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But then like it was so funny what they were eating because then she was like, "It's gonna be a barbecue. You know, it's gonna be like hot dogs and stuff." And I loved that too. Even if it didn't go with like the tea party theme.
Yeah.
I liked it. And then Mary was like, do I eat this? Like, she was so confused. The way Mary's confusion over like just the idea of a hot dog. Like, it started in the first episode. Like, I get it. Like, they were in that stupid kind of RV trip or whatever. And she had to, like, grill her, like, put over a fire, like, a Boca burger or whatever. She's so confused by the concept of, like, a hot dog or, like, a hamburger. Like, she doesn't, like, her brain doesn't understand.
Do you think when she was a kid and she had to fold paper, she was like, I don't understand what hot dog or hamburger style is. Like,
oh, my God, that's so funny.
What is that? Fish filet style?
She's like, I will eat a hamburger, but it's a fish filet.
Yeah.
That was weird to me, too, where she was like, I mean, if I, like, I'll eat a fish filet if I have to. It's like, you love fish filets. You
but that's what she loves to eat.
She made
a Sprinter van take her, just her, to get a fish filet.
To McDonald's.
So, and she didn't want to do a scene with all of the other women. She's like, no, I'm not getting out. I'm not going to that place. I'm not doing a scene.
I love that she has different rules for herself. And like, Heather's running the show, but Mary's running Mary's show.
Yes.
I feel like this is last season and this season, like, Mary is way more engaged than I think she's been ever. And so I like that because usually she's like, I mean, I've never seen a woman on TV who's trying to blow up so many scenes. And I don't even know if she's trying to do it intentionally, but she just like really doesn't give a shit. You know, it's like, beautiful. I don't like you because you smell like a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand what a hot dog is. You know, she's like, can I eat this? Do you eat this?
If she's doing it strategically, like, that is incredible work because I've never seen anyone like have as many quotable moments as Mary just off the cuff.
She turned and talked
to those children at an Angie's party. I mean,
and it's interesting because like at BravoCon, like she was like the most popular of the housewives there. Like really everyone was like, I mean, nobody
she's more of like a spirit than a person. Like, I don't understand her as a human
being.
And
that's what her, somebody's been to her church, I see.
I know.
She's the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. They don't eat hot dogs there, though. No hot dogs.
I am curious, has her, like, docuseries come out?
Oh, she has a docuseries?
They have one about her church.
It's about
it's going to be like TLC.
Yeah.
Like, I do want to talk about, I know we were talking, I feel like we skipped over the parenting of it all with Heather and her daughter. And then Bronwyn's mom. Like, those scenes were like back to back. And they were like, we're good parents. We're good parents. Don't pay attention to Brittany. We're good parents on this show. And I do think that I am proud of Heather because her kids genuinely seemed very happy to celebrate each other. And that seemed like well adjusted.
Yeah.
And also the bed party. I'm like, I wasn't sure what a bed party was, but I'm like, oh, this is a Utah Mormon thing for sure. Because they have like
that's
those weird little celebrations. Yes, because they do this and then we soak. You know what I mean? Like, but that felt very Utah, of like a new Utah cute trend. They love like crafting and decorating and like, you know, making all of those things. So I thought that was really cute. And I thought Bronwyn finally getting her mom to say that she loves her on camera.
Oh my God.
Or like, so you're a good mom. You know,
But then she's like,
she
like but
someone
she's
whispering
like,
in her ear in the
I'm
back.
Not giving you a hug at the end.
Yeah.
And Bron was like, oh my God, you think I'm like a good mom and you kind of just told me you love me and this is like a big breakthrough. And she's like, well, but I won't give you a hug.
Bronwyn withheld the hug.
She said, I know you don't like hugs. And that's, and I'm like, well, the reason she doesn't like hugs is because this is the first time you're fucking saying this.
Probably because she didn't get any.
And because probably like you smell like Todd because you're secretly Todd and drag.
I don't know if I've ever even seen her like, have they shown her like hugging Todd? Do they hug? I don't know if I've ever, do they hold hands?
They've never been in the same scene together, have they?
No, I'm like, well, Bronwyn and Todd, I don't know if I can think of when they've really been affectionate with each other.
Well, but yes, affection for them is like Todd saying something cutting and then Bronwyn crying. So like that's their version of
their
love language.
But yeah, I thought that was cool that they had good parenting moments in between. Something positive.
I love your perspective on that because I am so checked out during Heather's storylines, honestly. I'm like, God, it's like so much Spawn Con for her other shows.
I'm very
like
Utah. I'm just very Utah. I pick up all the Utah shit. And the bed party was like 1,000%. They love crafting. They love like that sort of thing.
And I think that's very insightful that like, it's like, okay, we got to show that, you know, we've got good parents on the show too. Heather doesn't want to be taken down. She always has her personal agenda, you know, but that doesn't mean they can't be fun scenes. So thank you for, thank you for.
And it was sweet to see her girls like so, her girls were so excited for each other and they're both in Florida.
I know. Are they going to have a spinoff like the Next Gen thing, but it's in Florida?
Like they're in Florida. In completely different parts of, like one daughter's in Miami and the other's in Tampa. So they're not really close.
Yeah, that's fair. But how long does filming take?
Yeah, they can like commute.
I would love to see that show though, like Utah girls in Miami being like, what?
Shot of water.
Culture shock.
Morgan, Rumspringer, whatever they call it in the office.
Rumspringer.
Rumspringer. Okay, so let's get back to the tea party. So the ladies are playing one of these housewives games that were so popular as narrative devices.
We dread it. We hate it. Why would you think to do that again? That's so crazy. None of us saw this coming. Also, why were the parcels so fucking large? And it was just like so the props of it all was like so unnecessary to have to write.
It was a game. They had a prop. They had a prop guy. He probably like, you know.
Just went to town.
Yeah, he
so
went
they
to
incorporated
town. He's
it.
Like been out of work since Game of Thrones ended or
That's
something.
So
and
true.
He needed something to do.
Yeah.
And he had this unlimited budget, apparently.
This wasn't about drama. This was about craft.
Confessing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, craft. Yeah.
Craft services.
Craft services. As in witchcraft.
Yes. Yeah, the metaphorical like, parcels. So we got some kind of mild tea that got more and more tense until the game came to a standstill as these like say something horrible about each other games always go where we had the reveal of Lisa having two horses.
That was okay, Angie being like, that's my confession is that I talk shit about your horse is like, okay, so clearly we're gonna build up to Meredith. Angie, we need you to start with something totally irrelevant and innocuous that no one has ever talked about on this show. Like, you need to have something to talk about. And then Lisa's like, don't come for my fucking horse.
Right where it hurts for her, where it's like, I
money.
Own everything.
I own everything.
They ask her, like, are you renting a second horse or something? And she's like, that's none of your business. Like, Lisa just
it's
shuts
so
it down.
Funny.
Like, what? Or like, it was it Heather that was just like, why do you need like two horses? And she's like, it's none of your business.
I know. I was like, what nefarious thing? Like, are you breeding them or something?
Like, I'm
why?
Not discussing it. It's none of your
they
business.
They are family, and it is off limits.
I'm like, where is she keeping these horses? I don't know her to ride horses.
Well, one of them is on a mission of their own volition. So that one, you know, she's supporting. The other one is, what's her thing? Tequila? Vodka? What
Vita? Vita Tequila.
Vita Tequila. Yeah, the other one is currently promoting Vita Tequila at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh my God, you don't think that they make Vita Tequila out of the horses?
Oh my God. Oh no! That's none of your business.
So many horses.
That's none of your business.
None of your business. It's my business.
They're my rental for the next 3 months.
Wait, we need to get that spread. Have you guys ever started a rumor that's appeared on the show? Have you ever participated? Because they care about social media so much on that.
We have
not.
That is a fun idea. Yeah, because they're so up on it.
Try that as a fun side project. See if you can get. Okay. You can harass these women online.
I love it. Yeah, we have an influencer friend who talks to Lisa. Maybe we can get him.
Yeah, he talks. He's friends with her. They talk often.
One of the lawyers she calls at any given moment.
He's so sweet though. He's so sweet. I think he's gonna be on Watch What Happens Live next week. I'm happy.
Oh wow.
Fingers crossed.
You might know him actually. Oliver Sims. Like I don't know if you've seen him on TikTok. He does a lot of things. He does the like lip syncs with different housewife scenes.
Yeah.
He's really funny.
That's cool.
He's super sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get him rumor mongering. Stuff.
His friends. Yeah.
His friends. Okay, so then we heighten to farting, I think. The Todd farting.
Oh, yeah. Heather thinks this is going to be so funny. And Bronwyn's just like Betsy Ross, like.
Betsy Ross, famously stern.
Not funny. Throw it in the river. Throw it in the river.
It's none of your business, is what Brian said.
None of your business. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry you said about like the farting and making out. And Bronwyn's like,
she's like, I thought it's so absurd. Isn't it funny? And she was like, no. And then at the end, right before they cut the whole episode, Heather brings up the farting again. And then Mary gets upset because Mary farts. And Mary literally, she was like, no. So no one thinks, she's like, at a certain point, farting's no longer funny.
Mary does not like to be accused of farting ever.
No.
Well, but she jokes about it, but only Mary, it's her rule. Joke about it. She can smell it and dealt it, but none others shall acknowledge it.
She's kind of I'm like that with life.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, you have a Mary code. A Mary
Heather
fart
doesn't
code.
Understand.
Like, I will be mean to you and joke, but if you do it to me, I'm going to wither away and slit my wrists.
Oh, yeah, I get that. I'm bad at criticism. But, yeah, Heather thinks that's fun.
Yeah.
Farting.
My thing is, she is naturally pretty funny, but, like, I'm like, she didn't have anything to add to it.
Yeah,
it was just rehashing. That's kind of a cardinal sin of housewives.
Oh, are you talking Mary or Heather?
Heather.
Yeah. But also, she was just like, I've been talking about it. And, like, this was after 8 times of Bronwyn being like, family is off limits.
Yeah, and it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it was funny in the moment when we saw it during the Below Deck episode. But then it's like, the bringing it up again, I was like, this is what they do on Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
they don't do this on Salt Lake City. Like, they're above that.
I think they have to talk about it for a whole season. Angie and her to say. I think they were just waiting for the manager's moment.
I know, but you know what? Much. It's almost like, but it was funny. I mean, Angie even saying what she did, it did tee up for a very funny moment with Lisa.
Yeah, yeah.
So it almost is like, it's okay because of me just get this really funny thing at least be like, it's none of your business.
Yeah,
you know?
So it was a rare miss for Heather, I think.
Yeah.
Just because
everybody
usually
just shut it down.
Yeah. She usually would have something to kind of like.
Yeah, she bombed.
Or, like,
listen, we've
thing,
all been
bombed.
There, girls.
We all,
she bombed. Yes. She bombed.
She bombed. She put it out there. She bombed.
We've been there. And sometimes the joke just doesn't work and you got to let it go.
Yep. Okay, so then I think the notable one that we heightened to is
the rumors in the nestiness
but not about the husbands about the alcoholism and pill addiction.
Oh my god, when we were watching this last night, everyone in the bar was like,
you forgot the Bronwyn thing that she betrayed Whitney to Meredith. That one came
up. That's where we get there, right? Bronwyn's big bombshell that we're all kind of buying time to lean into is like they're gonna relitigate, or no, I guess for the first time, because Whitney and Bronwyn haven't talked to each other.
Yeah.
Bronwyn's like apologizing again to Whitney for like kind of betraying her, but then also by telling Meredith about it, but also standing by the fact that she did it because it was behind Meredith's back.
Yeah, she kind of like apologized, but didn't apologize. And then she was like, I apologize. Moving on.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think
also,
that Bronwyn's in the wrong, Pallavi?
I do. I kind of do, because I'm like, sometimes you need to vent to friends or whatever. You know what I mean? But also it's hard to say because there's cameras everywhere. So it's like, what are we really talking
also
about?
Like,
you know,
people they're venting to are like, you know, those are actually your coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if this is a real fight and not, which I kind of think it is, Whitney seems genuinely mad. It was something that she wanted to bring up to Whitney, and Bronwyn kind of like undercut her got in the middle of it to be part of this story.
To bring up to Meredith, you mean?
To bring up to Meredith.
Bronwyn does like to be the first to say things. That's
which is kind of
her
issue.
Own husband, and then she's like, don't talk about my family.
Yeah.
My husband's cheating on me. Don't talk about my family.
And that's what worries me with her, that and the inflatables, is that like she, it's hard for her.
I'm not worried about her during the Below Deck episodes, because I'm like,
we're worried about you. I hate these fucking inflatables, honestly.
Yeah,
honestly, the more you hate them, the more I kind of love them. I want my storyline to only be that I wear inflatables.
It's comedy, Pallavi. It's a low class.
I always said she's the carrot top of that franchise.
She's okay, so Carrot Top like, when she does
just
that.
Just for a minute. Okay, like last episode where she's sitting on that couch, like her couch, like it's just like not her good for lumbar support. Real. It's fucked up.
It's a daycare.
Like, I'd go crazy and be mean to her too. Like Todd had nowhere to put his back.
She's the opposite of the Kardashians. She took all the color from their homes and put it all over.
I love that. It makes her seem like Kimmy, like the mom and the Jane Krasinski or Krakowski character in Kimmy mm-hmm. Schmidt, where it's like she's the second wife who came into this like 80s mansion and like or like Beetlejuice redecorated with all this ugly, tacky, expensive
and she
art
just
shit.
Like she
I love
fucking
that.
Made that guy pay for it and he hates it so much.
Yes, like that's so Housewives to me.
Yeah, it feels definitely like not a place you'd want to live, but a fun.
It's Pee Wee's fun. It's like it's Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like I like that, but I don't like when she like I worry for her. I guess with A, the inflatables, and then B, I worry for her
marriage?
That she. Well, no, that's I like seeing play.
Oh, okay.
But I like when she undercuts the story, like to try to. She's so I'm gonna get
I'm
in
gonna
there.
Talk about it first, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it makes. I think it makes it hard for her to form the bonds. Also, her like unwillingness to be subservient.
But we also, you
in
know,
her
like,
personal life
is,
to everyone.
This is still like her sophomore season, so I still think she's still pretty green.
We have to give her time.
We have to give her time.
She like does that thing where she throws a rock and then hides her hands by like exposing them. She's like, and I apologize for the rocks in my hands and moving on, you know, like, and it's like, it doesn't feel like, it feels like she's doing the same thing with her marriage where she's just like, and we're moving past this. We're talking about it and we're moving past it.
I'm in control. Fine. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like she doesn't know what happiness is, like what good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what
and
I mean?
And that's why, but you know what? Like, that's why she's a great housewife.
I agree.
And because even though she cannot find happiness in her own life, like we are happy watching it. And so I think that's what really matters. Thanks, Bronwyn. May you never find actual peace in your life.
But I hope she finds some peace on this cast. Otherwise, I do worry about her longevity with the group.
Right. You can't just have a sound stage. Like, you're, you know, one day you're not going to have the sound stage and you're.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But this, we,
I
you
feel
know,
like,
it's
though,
only
if,
her second season.
If Britney's made it through, bro.
Oh my God. Now, that
like, I
woman,
have no idea how Britney has made
it. I'm obsessed with her. Everything she does, I'm obsessed with. I saw her on Reddit the other day. Someone in Utah, in Salt Lake City, had seen her with Jared going down the street. Did you see this video? Did I send it to you? It was like a couple of days ago. She's on one of those like motorized like scooter things that you like to get around the city. Like she's on the back of that and Jared's like on the front of this little scooter and they go to
they're
like,
running over her children. Like
she's flipping them off. No, they go to get like ice cream or something. I'm like, oh
Pap
my God.
Walk?
This woman-
or Pap Scoot?
Yeah. It's like a Pap Scoot.
Oh I feel God. So bad for her kids. Like I'm
okay,
like they're
yes,
like they're
we feel
like
bad
please.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pleading
but
she's an
with her.
It's very
character.
Sad, but she's so iconic. It's like
see,
like,
I kind of I kind of think the storyline is funny, but it only works because her kids, despite all odds, her being
are
awful
good.
To them, they turned
still,
out very well adjusted.
They turned
in
out year. Very well. Yeah. And like they still, like, even when you see the like confessionals and stuff, they like love their mom so much. And it is hard just to be like, you know. Your
but I like
are
she,
pleading with you.
I like that she admits it. Like
she admits
all the housewives are bad moms, but she doesn't try to cover it and admits it.
She doesn't,
it.
And
so
she doesn't try
I do
to
like
hide
that.
It. She never hides what's going on with Jared.
I don't think
she talks
she's smart
talks
enough
about
to
it.
Do that.
Like, she is smart. She was a salutatorian.
Salutatorian.
Salutatorian. But like, you know, just she's like the moment, like jacking off that, like stroking a cactus. Like Erica Jane's never going to give me that.
I also love that she, like, I love all the Utah crumbs. Like I love every like Utah culture thing. And the Osmonds are like a big deal in Utah
She's
for like my parents' generation.
That. You gotta
like,
figure out how to make it work. Yeah.
My parents always talked about Donnie and Marie, and they're not even Mormon. Okay.
Oh my God. So,
yeah.
That's
well, they're
crazy.
They're America's entertainers.
They're Branson.
Yeah.
That's my Branson.
But it's like Jared. I don't even think. Was ever in it. He's just a hanger
think, like,
on.
No,
like,
that's
he's
extended
an
family. That
he's
is
like, I think it's like his second uncle is Donnie or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But he's riding that fucking wave.
I would imagine that name goes very far in Salt Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. And the proximity. She's just addicted to that it's Utah like Z-list.
Romney and Osmond. You want to be, even just being Osmond adjacent, even being on the back of a scooter with the Osmond at the helm. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do it, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to love it. So,
she's
okay.
Fun. I like Brittany. I love her. She deserves a snowflake.
Oh well, I think that she again has such low self-esteem that she'll just continue.
She
to
wouldn't
be,
ask they, for it. Yeah. Friend of,
yeah. Even when there's been like whole season.
Yeah.
Because I think like
as a friend, becomes, like always just kind of like beneath the other women.
Yeah, because I think if she does have a snowflake, like Meredith would take it personal. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it could be very bad. Like it could be her being forced out. But if she doesn't have a snowflake, she's like maybe not perceived as a real threat to like Meredith and Lisa. It's also like, I think a safer position and a more fun position because the responsibility, like Cynthia Bailey is having so much fun as a friend of the show. You know what I mean? Like it's less pressure. Well,
I feel like the friends are doing more than some of the main cast, like especially like Miami, like Adriana, call her Adriana because you had that book last night.
Oh my gosh, Adriana Partridge's book. No, Adriana. I do think that with how many scenes some of these friends of are in, it like salary wise, it might end up pretty similar because you're paid by the scene.
There's been only about
is it like the scene that ends up in the episode or is it like by
that ends up in the episode that makes the cut.
That's you know what? That's a good incentive.
I learned a lot about that. I learned a lot about that actually because I listened to Sheena Shea's book and she talked about when she became a friend of about how so she was still a friend of when during Scandoval, so then she ended up getting paid more than the cast because it's paid by like how much when you're
how
a friend of
screen time.
You're getting like screen time and how many days you film. So it's not like
how was
okay,
she
you're gonna get this
during Scandoval. When was she like a main cast member?
She was. They moved her to season 9 or season 8 or 9. They moved her to friend of. It's a whole thing. She talks about
crazy.
It in the book.
Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Season 7, they moved Dodie to friend of too. Mm-hmm.
So she was like, oh, they're probably gonna. She knew it was coming, and she was pissed. But then she ended up like
making more. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because she made it about herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
now let's get to the bombshells.
Bronwyn makes her apology, and of course, this brings the fight of was
the
Meredith,
American Revolution
of the American Revolution. Oh no, of the what happened on the plane again? Was Meredith yelling at Whitney, asking for the TikTok? Was she berating and physically abusing Brittany? Mm-hmm. Was she out of control? And she just doesn't remember.
Why did no one, there's got to be recording of it. There's got to be recording of it.
I think
reunion. There's
got
to be big reveal at the
reunion. Or like legally, maybe they, I don't know, but I do, there. I don't believe that. I think all of these women on Salt Lake, they are so smart. They would have this recorded.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a reason we're not being seen it because
this
is not something Salt Lake City does. This is what Beverly Hills does on a sprinter van. Like, this isn't what SLC does, so I think
there's
reasons
not missing
they can't
information.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I definitely, like, we need to see it. Also, like, how many episodes have we talked about this and Meredith is still, like, 10 toes down that it didn't happen? And you can see the pause where she's like, no.
Yeah, and the thing with that, too, is, like, I guess this will kind of be leading up to what Winnie says to her at the American Revolution Tea Party. But, you know, it's like she's had separate conversations with the women about it. You know, like Mary tries talking to her. And honestly, I feel like the way that Mary talked to her about it was like kind of from like a pretty empathetic place.
Yeah.
But she was also telling Meredith like, you know, Meredith's like, I don't remember ever doing that. And then and Mary's like,
that's
what concerns me.
Yeah.
Is that you don't know. And she,
I
like
think
the way
that
she
added
said it, that actually felt like pretty
exactly
legitimate.
Paul of it.
Like,
yeah.
I'm concerned. Yeah. Not like, that, you were a monster on the plane and embarrassing. And then it wasn't like scolding. It was I'm worried.
It's crazy that Mary works as the voice of reason now because we believe she's agendaless because of how little she wants to be there and because she doesn't always hammer the story points home. You know, she lets it be like, look, this isn't like I'm not participating in all the producing that goes on SLC.
Or
I'm showing up
aloof,
and being honest.
You know, whatever.
You know?
I also think that like when Whitney first brought up the like alcohol and things, I'm like, okay, you can say, oh, sorry.
Build it up. Now we're
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Leads to, Whitney. I mean, you know, Whitney saying to Meredith, alcoholic, pill
You're
popper.
An alcoholic and a pill
Well, because Meredith called her a liar and she was like triggered mm-hmm. by being called a liar. But yeah, so like, but she brought this up before in a previous episode. And like, I was like, I don't like accusing people of doing things I don't see. But like, if you say like, okay, you screamed and whatever, like that's okay. But Mary being like, you don't remember and that worries me, made me think that Whitney was right on. Whitney often has very spot on instincts and terrible execution. Like the worst execution.
I don't like housewives telling some, I don't like anybody saying like, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's also just because like, you know, I didn't like when Kyle did it to Kim, and we know that she has a real
issue.
Really
sad.
I mean, I really didn't like when Tamara did it to Shannon. I think it's like, it's just a little tired.
And it's also bad messaging.
Also,
about
if you
addiction.
Really
it's
think
shameful.
Someone has an addiction, shame like, me. You probably don't even really need to be doing it on camera. And then like, not all wearing wigs. I kind of understand a little bit with Whitney because I remembered like her dad.
Yeah.
And so this is something that she's really struggled with a lot with her dad and his addiction issues. And so I think it's kind of perfect.
She's in the heat of the moment and she got triggered.
I know that Whitney's smart enough to know that people were going to talk about it. And she wanted to say that.
She was able to roll out her father's story in the way that she wanted. Mm-hmm. So she had agency over that. Whereas what she was doing to Meredith is not. But I also I think that I would be if you're sitting there on a TV show and you're just saying like all these women are lying when it's very obvious that you are the one who's lying, I would be like, bitch, you're fucking crazy. And like, I don't know what your deal is.
I don't know, her insistence upon it, because also all it's doing is like
riling them
doing
up.
Is like, we have to keep talking about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the thing that pisses me off, because it keeps happening.
Separate conversations. And you know, I'm sure a lot of them talk to her, not cameras. And so like all of these conversations are happening and they're not even like accusatory. Like with Mary, it's like, no, because you're being so insistent. Now we have to keep talking about it. And it just makes you look even more guilty just as a viewer
watching
you.
And now it's pulling like
Lisa in. And then having... Mm-hmm. Okay, so like we're all trying to catch our breath from Whitney being like, you're an alcoholic and you're a pill popper and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, you know, Meredith, what she brings to the tea party is a drug test for everybody.
This is like, okay, this is like when Drake was like, I knew you would bring up the Epstein line in his song. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Drake accused him of being a pedophile. And then Drake immediately dropped a song that was like, I knew you'd take the Epstein route with me. And it's like, how did you know that, Drake? How did you fucking know that
you
was going to happen?
Say you're not. You're just like,
I knew you'd bring it up. And that's what Meredith was doing.
She didn't bring her own pee.
She brought her own pee to a tea party. It was like.
No, she just brought the test.
Yeah, she brought the test.
But everyone has to react to it.
It's like, where do you go from here? It's like, it's kind of a crazy moment. It's like, I mean, a different context, but. Kind of like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like when Aviva threw her leg, what am I doing?
Trying to have a moment, but like this is even like less consequential.
It's kind of sad.
It's more sad because that's not going to prove anything about how she was on the plane. It's not actual receipts. It's just
like she's like denial about it.
Yeah,
and that makes me feel like I like Meredith. Like I really
I
like.
I don't
she's
like Meredith.
She pisses me off as a housewife. She does now, but I feel like, you know, she's given us I loved her bat mitzvah. Like, I love that. Like,
she needs to be friend of. And this season is real proof of that. She can't handle being the center of attention.
She's never been able to handle any criticism, and she handles it very poorly.
Yeah. And then we get stuck on a storyline.
We do.
Yeah. Also,
and
Lisa,
it is sad
like,
that all of her big moments is like her slurring. Oh, yeah. You know.
Also, like, Lisa throwing in with her is so confusing to me. Like, how...
Yeah.
I don't understand their friendship at all, other than, like, we've made an alliance to protect each other this point.
Yeah. And then, so yeah. It's like they have blinders on to
behavior. Yeah, and so now Lisa is, like, it cuts back to, like, Lisa is like, I didn't say that about, you know, what Meredith did on the plane. And then it cuts back to her saying that. And it's, like, so... it's, like, this is going to be, like, a thing at the reunion. And she's going to be like, well, I don't care anyway. It's none of your business. Like, that's what it's so annoying and sad.
I think what's tough is they probably think that they're like the heroes in this season because they're the underdogs. Yeah. They've taken, and Brittany is something of an underdog, but it's like that they always had the power for like the first three seasons. And like Heather was always trying to bury herself up Lisa's asshole. So it's like, even though it's like, you know, 4-2 or whatever, 2.5 with Brittany, it's like, well, no, and now they don't even have Brittany. Yeah, so it's like, they still have the power in that they all think they're above everyone and above the housewives. Yeah. So it's like, you can't really root for them or feel like they're being horribly mistreated, you know, because it's like they're kind of being like so aloof and unwilling to play ball like the rest of the cast.
Lisa not dressing up for anything pisses me off. You know, I'm like, it's like, no one thinks you're like the hottest. like get off your get that sloth on. Put an inflatable thing on.
It's hard because it's horses. Like, they're not having fun. And that's what separates Salt Lake City from a lot of the franchises. Like, they have a lot of fun. Like, the show is funny. There's a, you know, Lauren and I wanted to do a live, like, the live show. Because, like, Salt Lake City is, like, actually the funniest.
Yeah.
And so when things like this
happen. I think a lot of that is Heather and, like, Whitney, kind of. Like, especially.
And
especially
Mary. Heather.
And Mary.
Yeah, Mary.
Yeah, but when things like that happen, it's, like, it's not really fun. And it's hard to watch.
But it also frustrated me because they like brought it back. Like Brittany's like quiet. And then they were like, I understand what they're saying about like, this triggered me because of my dad relationship. This triggered me because of what men have told me my whole life. But then it like, it makes it not about the thing. Like you have to keep going further and further away from the core issue in order to feel validated. Cause you keep reaching, you're trying to find any way in to get Meredith and Lisa to listen to you.
Yeah. If it was done a different way, like it's like if you're really concerned, if you really think someone has an issue, because alcoholism is a disease really is. I've seen it and it's awful.
It's so sad.
But it's like you don't just say that to somebody and not say like, there's resources or I'm going to help you.
They didn't even do that at the end of the fucking episode.
And you don't do it at somebody's
they usually like put like a disclaimer and they didn't even do that there.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Well, but that's a problem with this plot in general, I think, is like it was always going to end up like It's Always Sunny, like intervention, like you're an alcoholic, fuck you. Like it always does on Bravo. But it's like, I don't think they're thinking long-term about this plot unless they want Meredith off the show. Because it's like, you said, all of her iconic moments are when she is slurring and fucked up. So you want to make it a dark, fucked up thing that she's slurring and fucked up. You want her to stop getting, like, you think it's a real problem and it's not funny and she shouldn't be like that on the show. And she's like a danger to you guys. It's like, well, we're kind of crossing over into a place we cannot come back from.
Yeah. Then it's like, you know, I just, let's not do it. But next week, Greece.
I know. Yeah. Let's leave and figure out something else to fight about. It also, the thing that pisses me off is that it's so fragmented. Like it's those two and then the rest. And I'm like, so that does, they're just in a bubble unless they're fighting. Like there's no like interesting alliances. It just keeps, it's stagnant this whole season.
Yeah. That is the good thing about Bronwyn being a rat floater is that she kind of, you know, triangulates.
Yeah. Bronwyn and Brittany kind of moving around a little bit.
Brittany. God bless Brittany. Her. Joseph Brittany. Smith, bless her.
Accurately named. I'm sorry. Best named housewife.
She's so Brittany.
She's such a Brittany. Yeah.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Yeah.
And that's spelled like Brittany.
Brittany.
It's so 80s.
It's Utah. You got to spell it differently to be unique.
Oh, Pallavi, okay, before you go, I have an important question for you.
Yes.
So did you ever watch any of Brittany's movies growing up, her Mormon movies at a friend's house? Because she was apparently like the Mormon teen rom-com queen.
Was she in like Singles Ward and stuff?
What I was think she in? Was like, and the RA was her big one.
Oh, I remember Singles Ward. Was she? Oh, can you like look
she
up?
She might have been. Let me pull her up. Yeah,
Singles Ward was like a huge thing when I was a kid. But I don't. I remember that there were like a lot of Utah movies, but I don't remember her. I remember the guy in Singles Ward who like created like all of these little mini Utah franchises.
Okay, she was not in Singles Ward, but right, it's Whitney Bateman. Projects.
We should do a watch thing together.
We want to like do online. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
She was in Mobsters and Mormons, Forever I've Strong. Heard of that. You have? Oh my gosh.
I've heard of Mobsters and Mormons. Yeah.
That would be an interesting one to watch as well. Believe.
I don't think I don't know about that one. I have to look at like the when
the
I get
RM.
RM. Yeah, that sounds familiar. They're, like, some of these sound familiar.
Sons of Provo?
I've definitely heard of that. I haven't seen it. I don't think I've seen it. But, like, I know.
Controversial.
Like, I know. Anytime people, like, talk, like, in my dance school, it was very heavily Mormon, so people would talk about it. One of my dance teachers was in Singles Ward. Like, it was, like, a big phenomenon to have, like, these representations. It's kind of like when the Daily Wire started putting out movies. And, like, they had their own, you know what I mean? Like, their own little bubble of movies. It's like that for Mormons. They're like, we have our own media.
Yeah, Mormon media.
Yeah.
And now it's taking over the nation.
They were right about it. Guess what?
They were right.
They were right all along. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Paula V, where can people find you?
You can find me at Paula V Gunalan, PallaviGunalan, everywhere. I run now 2 monthly shows in LA, one facial recognition comedy. The next one is on the 19th of December at the Comedy Store. And I also run a show called Second Screens Comedy, where you are welcome to bring your laptop, your phone, your iPad, your substitute teacher TV, and be on it for ADHD heads while we perform for you. It's very online. The dream. And the next one of that is on the 14th. And then I'm also going to be at Sketchfest. So all the Bay Area people. Ooh. I have 2 shows that I'm doing, Zin the Baddies, which is South Asian improv on the 17th of January, and facial recognition comedy on the 17th of January as well. Please come through.
Yes, go support live comedy, follow her, and we love you guys.
We have our show on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. At the Grapevine Bar in Dallas. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.